Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Ali Fethullah Nejad, a visiting fellow at Brookings Doha and an expert on Iran and the Gulf. Dr. Fethullah Nejad, there seems to be a softening toward Iran by certain Gulf countries. This week, a senior United Arab Emirates official urged diplomacy in dealings with the Islamic Republic, whereas in the past, the talk was a lot tougher. Why the change?
I think the change comes against the backdrop of the success of Iran's counter-strategy, not only when it comes to the Emiratis, but also the Saudis, who have become, one could say, afraid of the courage of their own convictions. So that is, their hawkish stance vis-a-vis Iran had to face reality, in the sense that an accommodation with Iran is one in one form or another has become a pill they might have to swallow, because they know that they cannot bear the cost of any kind of direct military confrontation with Iran. What I'm meaning by the counter-strategy of Iran that has been successful is the series of actions in the Persian Gulf that have been attributed to Iran, although Iran has denied to be the perpetrator. So the mining of oil tankers in the Gulf. And so the first sign of a change of attitude we could observe when the attacks on the oil tanker off the Emirati coast town of Fujairah happened, so that people would attribute to Iran, but the Emirati authorities were very passive and were actually saying that they would need to investigate the issue further to see who is the perpetrator. So this was the first kind of realization from the Emirati side that actually this Iranian counter-escalation strategy might be a very existential threat. Not only would Iran be able to target Emirati cities with their ballistic missiles and then destroy, you know, a large part of the economy, but the very survival of the United Arab Emirates might be at stake if, for example, Iran decides to strike the desalination sites of the Emirates. So we've seen, similarly from the Saudi side, kind of reluctance also to directly blame Iran after those devastating attacks in mid-September on the crucial Aramco oil installations in Saudi Arabia. So even the Saudis have been, understanding the message sent from Tehran that any kind of military conflagration would be tremendously to the disadvantage of Iran's southern neighbors on the Arabian Peninsula.
You are listening to Ali Fethullah Nejad, a visiting fellow at Brookings Doha and an expert on Iran and the Gulf. Dr. Fethullah Nejad, do Gulf nations that previously took a tough line on Iran feel abandoned and perhaps even left exposed by Washington's apparent unwillingness to follow through on tough talk of its own?
That's a difficult question because, I mean, first of all, I think there is no military option in the Iran case anyways. And secondly, there is a sense of abandonment certainly among some capitals in the region, but this is not a new phenomenon. This has been the case over the last few years. So those Gulf states who are critical vis-a-vis Iran, most notably Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, are still supporting the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign on Iran, but Gargash very much signaled or demanded that there's going to be some collective action for a diplomatic and political solution of the crisis. So he stressed that the Gulf states should be involved in any kind of negotiations, because this was not the case in the process of negotiations that led to the conclusion of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action or the Iran nuclear deal, so which was probably in retrospect a mistake from the Western side not to really involve the Gulf states. So this time around, the Gulf states, because of the elements I said before, are very much interested in avoiding any kind of further escalation or even military escalation in the region, but at the same time calling for a collective effort for a diplomatic settlement, which was, by the way, also pointed out and highlighted by the new U.S. ambassador to the UAE, who even who said that the U.S. is assisting Emirati efforts towards such a goal. So the Gulf states wanting a political solution, but at the same time, they're very much stressing that they should be involved in any kind of negotiations about Persian Gulf security, and they should not be sidelined.
A final question. Brookings Doha is in Qatar, which is often considered a bit friendlier or maybe even more understanding toward Iran. And also it's in an antagonistic relationship lately with Saudi Arabia and the UAE. How do Qatari leaders view recent developments concerning Iran?
Well, I think that given the Iranian or alleged Iranian actions in the Gulf over the past few months, all actors, be they openly Iranian foes or countries that have better relations with Iran, like Qatar, are very much, understanding the signals and risks of a potential military escalation. So the Qatari side, in the wake of those actions in the Gulf, would also very much call for a diplomatic settlement of the issue. Qatar has, at the same time, of course, is home to the largest U.S. military base in the region. So it is somehow sandwiched between the Iranian and U.S. positions. And any kind of further escalation in the Persian Gulf region would also potentially jeopardize Qatari LNG exports through the Strait of Hormuz. So the Qataris are also very much in support of a diplomatic settlement. But be it as it may, the main decision, the strategic decision for any kind of arrangement would nevertheless lie in Tehran and Washington. However, the latest signals from the United Arab Emirates are somehow promising in the sense that no one really is interested in this region to see a further escalation.
Ali Fatollah Najad, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.